Do you like talking now?
Tetcher and Rich.
Open your mouth wide.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. It is Tutcher and Rich.
Is this Trombone Shorty?
It is.
Nice.
It is. Yeah. I'm a big fan of these guys. Well, yesterday, GM of the New York Yankees, Brian Cashman, played false humility to a T in an interview on New York radio, saying this.
Well, you thought last year's Red Sox team was the Golden State Warriors, so what are the Yankees 2018?
Oh!
We're the defending American League wild card Yankees of 2017.
So you're not the Philadelphia Eagles?
No, nothing like that, huh?
No, we are the little engine that could.
Oh, yeah. Calling the team that just added the best player in baseball to its already stellar lineup, the little engine that could. Continuing on, by the way.
Giancarlo Stanton at 59.
Little engine.
Last season.
How did Aaron Judge
hit third for you?
What did they combine for? Like 103 or something crazy?
Yeah, Judge was over 52, so yeah.
Yeah, maybe 113, maybe?
Yeah.
I just love continuing on the we're just the little guy. I hear theme. He talked about the Red Sox.
A pop-up. It's out of the ballpark at Yankee Stadium.
I mean, he was just like, and people are buying into it too, which is disgusting. So he basically talked about the Red Sox saying, quote, I look at them as the defending American League East champions. Well, obviously, how'd that work out in the playoffs? We have to find a way to close the gap on them. They just added another piece to improve what they already had, so we already know who they are and what they are, and our job is to figure out a way to somehow get past them. And at the same time, keep Toronto and Baltimore and Tampa behind us. He said, until someone takes that title away from them, you've got to pay that homage. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right. It obviously sounds like the best thing is that the New York Daily News is one of the people who is buying in with the front cover of their paper. Have you seen it this morning? It has a picture of Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton.
Are they on a train?
Nope.
A little engine that could?
Nope. And a mystery player in the middle wearing the dog mask that Chris Long and the rest of the Eagles wore during their Super Bowl run.
Okay.
That's right. The New York Yankees are the underdogs of baseball. New York versus everyone. And or as Wiggy would say,
they hate us because they want to be us.
Come on.
Yep.
They hate us.
Yep.
Give it to me. Come on.
And they hate us because they jealous of us.
Okay, all right. That's right. Which, according to Wiggy, when we had him on, and he's listening right now because he's working.
No, Wiggy's not listening. He's out in the community. He's out in the community doing
that's
things.
That's what he says, yeah. I'm out in the community doing things. Yeah,
he's got ears to the street.
Yeah.
Wiggy.
According to him, they hate us because they jealous us t-shirts just selling through the roof. I mean,
right.
It's like everywhere you look.
He went out and made himself t-shirts. If you had said nothing, that wouldn't have happened.
Look at this stupid cover.
I know.
The underdogs.
Right, of course.
Yeah. And to their left and right are two of the biggest home run smashers in the league. Despite reaching ALCS and adding NL MVP Stanton to lineup, Cashman says the Yanks still looking up at the Sox. Yes, it's exact. Why is everyone playing coy right now? Why is no one just a little confident?
Okay, nobody believes that, and you hear Cashman in his voice. He's kind of joking about it. But at the end of last season, did you really think that at the end of the regular season, and it was looking like the Yankees were playing themselves right out of playoff contention?
Yep.
I didn't expect them to be in the ALCS last year.
Nope, but they were.
Mm-hmm. They were. So in that, if you take it back to that time and think about that team, now obviously with what they've done in the offseason, on paper you cannot think of them, and nobody reasonably thinks of them as the underdog anymore. But just think a little bit, just back to August. You don't have to go back too terribly far. That team was falling out. Aaron Judge. When did his fall off start? After the All-Star break?
A little before, but then he didn't get it back until the end of August.
Was that a home run derby situation?
Yeah, it was.
Wasn't that the home run derby
it was.
Curse?
It was the home
it's
run
not
derby
a curse, it's a thing.
Yeah, that, no, he
out
was
of all those
awful
things that,
for about eight or nine weeks.
Yep, yeah, that one's legit.
Yeah, yeah. And you look back at the track record of that home run derby. I'm telling you, if I'm a guy who's having an amazing year and they ask you to do the home run derby, I'm honestly thinking twice.
No.
It's happened with... I bet if you looked at the last 10 years, seven of them have hit a massive slump after the Home Run Derby. I bet if you look back, I think it's almost that many.
Easy for me to say no because I don't watch the Home Run Derby anymore. I don't like the format. I don't
Last year's was good.
They've changed.
Yeah, the last it was
it's actually 2 years. Much easier to watch. It's timed.
It's way
now
more entertaining
so that
now.
The rounds end quicker.
And this is from a guy who hated the Home Run Derby. The last like, couple years have been fun to watch.
Before it wasn't. I agree.
They fixed it the right way.
I watched the highlights. Oh, so many home runs.
They didn't have Berman last year. It helped. They did not have Berman last year.
Who was there last year?
I forget who it was.
Was Kruk still crushing ribs? I forget.
I don't know.
That was the best.
No, the food was not delivered to the field.
Let's watch Kruk eat.
Yeah, that's
I want one of those side cameras that you get exclusively online.
His own personal man versus food episode.
Just Kruk crushing ribs.
Right. Whip around coverage and just have, you know, different boxes.
Is Kruk finished yet? Somebody get Kruk a bib.
The snack cam.
That was the best. Just over and over. He's like, I'm eating. I don't care. I'll deliver this take with like teeth full of pork. So yeah, so there you go. They hate us because they jealous us. There you go.
You know, in true Wiggy fashion too, he kind of misspelled it. Like he misspelled the Fleeger and Maz vest that he had made from Wiggy Wear. And that happened while we were on the air because it was during the rally.
Yeah, yeah.
So it must have been just me and Beetle that day because Zoe was there.
Yep.
Zoe was down there. So we're goofing on it so bad, and people started making their own memes like immediately.
Yeah. Sure.
The guy who sends you stuff. The
fake shirts, right.
Oh, my God, they're fantastic.
Yep.
And we had the spelling down, like how it looked best. And when Wiggy made the shirts, he screwed it up.
Yep.
There's like an H missing when you're trying to spell Jellifasus.
You're right, yeah.
There's a way where it looks right, and there is a way that it looks like crap.
This looks like Jellifasus.
Yeah, and he went with the way that where it looks like crap.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean,
that's what he does. He misprints Felger and Maz and has sweater vests made to show off his company Wiggy
Wear. Inability
and
to.
Unveils them on TV and they say Fleeger and Maz.
Oh, that was great. And I give them credit. They wore them.
They still wear them. Felger will still wear his. He loves it. It's his favorite article of clothing.
Be careful. You hold your tongue about Wiggy because any second now you're going to get a tweet from him that says hashtag wigs out at the end and an inappropriate
capital letters.
I'm still waiting for him to tell me where to show up with my $1,000 in cash for our bet that he can dunk a basketball. I'm like, let's do it right now, Wiggy. I got $1,000 burning a hole in my pocket. We can do charity. We can just change it over.
Remember he said he could outdrive you? Remember that? That was another one where he could outdrive you on a golf course.
That one never happened either.
Amazing.
I'm willing to give him like 10 shots, and I won't take out more than like an 8-iron because he's not going to be able to put it in the fairway. That's all he got to do. It's got to be in the fairway. But when it comes to dunking, he's like, how many chances do I get? And I think it was Keith who was still here at the time, and he keeps laughing. He's like, one!
Yeah.
You can either dunk a basketball or you can't. Yeah. This isn't white men can't jump,
right.
You know, using the prize money with three shots. No! One basketball, one rim, go dunk it.
You see, I have a $1,000 bet that I'm going to make with Wiggy once we move to their building. Because
sure.
I think in the next 2 months, our studio is being built. We're going to be in the same one where
Wiggy can't keep himself from walking into our studio?
No. At 8 o'clock, because he will be wandering,
yeah.
At 8 a.m., one morning, I'm going to pull him into our studio and I say, I will give you $1,000 if you answer these 5 questions about what you guys on your show talked about this morning. And I'll bet you $1,000 you can't answer
you
all 5 questions.
Talk to his coworkers that desperately want him to take that
bet. Because you're either A, not paying attention, or B, you're listening to our show during your show. Oh, Wiggy, you are a prize. All right, well, right after the headlines, no commercials, just the headlines. We've got somebody who many people called out for having the hot take of the year yesterday. We shall see right after Wog's headlines.
Touchdown! Score!
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston, 98.5, the Sports Hub, Beasley Media Group Station. It's TNR, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Toucher and Rich.
They hate us, because they want to be us. They hate us, because they hate us. And they hate us, because they jealous us.
98.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, the Town Fair Tire Studio, simulcast on NBC Sports Boston, all over this great world. And Hardy was here yesterday, filling in today. Fred comes back on Monday. And there's a gentleman that, you know what? Listen, he has achieved what I guess you want to achieve if you're somebody who is on a TV show and you want to get noticed.
Yep.
You see, Stephen A. Smith is a guy that we make fun of a lot, but Stephen A. Smith is somebody that you meet him in person, and he's an all right guy. He's actually pretty funny. A lot of times he says that some of the takes he throws out there, you know, he obviously goes way over the top. But Stephen A. Smith is one of those guys that even when he says something, he kind of tries to back it up with a little bit of reasoning. You know what I mean? It's like even if he knows that you might not, he might not 1,000% believe it. He's very good, much like a lawyer having to defend somebody that they don't truly like support. They have to somehow come up with an argument that means, you know, that makes it plausible that someone could believe it. Nick Wright from, is it Fox that he's on?
Fox Morning Show with the perpetually FS1? Surprised Chris Carter.
Chris Carter?
Right.
Ooh, everything's all, yeah. I'm not believing this.
Right.
But Nick Wright is a guy who just throws crap out there just to be heard and just for people to play it. And yesterday, he got a lot of play out of a comment he made about the Boston Celtics. Now, I heard people go nuts and I heard people say whatever about it. But this is what he had to say. He was talking about the difference between last year's team and this year's Celtics team.
I hear what everyone's saying, but it's just blind faith. It's just because we think it should be the case. Because, yeah, last year they didn't have Jason Tatum, but they did have Jay Crowder, who, again, shot the same percentage Tatum shooting this year, averaged the same points, actually averaged more rebounds.
Come on, you know they're not, he's not the same type of player.
I know
Jay
that
Crowder can't attack the rim the way Jason Tatum.
What I know is this. I know that Jason Tatum will one day be far better than Jay Crowder ever will be. But do I think Jay Crowder last year, the best year of his career, is better equipped right now and
so
certainly...
So you tell us what happened to the Celtics. What went wrong?
But they are, I'll tell you exactly, they are the same. They are, to me, a lesser version, slightly lesser version of the team they were last year. They're a team that, guess what, looked at this lineup and said, the only way we can really compete is it for a championship is if we add a Gordon Hayward. Like, Kyrie, what we keep doing with the Celtics, to me, is looking at what Jaylen Brown will be, what Jason Tatum will be, what Kyrie Irving is, and saying, well, that's obviously they're an improved team. As opposed to saying, okay, but Jason Tatum is taking the minutes Jay Crowder had, and Jay Crowder was awesome last year. Jaylen Brown's taking the minutes Avery Bradley had, and Avery Bradley was really good last year. Kyrie's taking the minutes Isaiah Thomas had. Isaiah Thomas was second team all NBA last year. Like, I have no evidence that, you mentioned this team could have lost to the Bulls in the first round. This team could lose in the first round this year.
Okay, real quick before we get to that comment, guess who I got a tweet from within the last
Wiggy.
2 minutes?
Wiggy.
Yeah, Wiggy, yeah, of course. Wiggy. Yeah. I'm hearing y'all Gaffoons are talking ish again.
Gaffoons?
Yeah. Gaffoons, which is a great word. Is that a real word?
No,
or is that a Wiggyism?
No,
that's a Wiggyism.
I actually like it.
No, the B is right below on the keyboard.
Yeah, it's true.
So,
I thought there was a B at the beginning of that, but that's fine.
Gaffoons.
Gaffoons.
I'm hearing y'all Gaffoons, in all caps, are talking ish again. Enjoy it while you can, because I'll be in walking distance.
I'm sure.
Soon come.
Okay.
Hashtag wigs out.
That's right. I'm going to get my wings clipped. I heard.
To that, what's going to say, why are you listening to our show? You're on the air right now.
No, he's got ears to the street. He's got people. Yes. He's got people in the community. Yes.
That's right. In the mean streets of Acton or wherever he lives right now.
I just clicked on the hashtag wigs out to see the series of tweets with using this hashtag. They're pretty much all from Wiggy. And for instance, at Boston Herald, when do the boys basketball brackets coming out? Question mark, question mark, question mark. Hashtag wigs out. 3 exclamation points.
Really? Yeah. He wigs out like a question to the Herald.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, good for him.
Just so you know that indeed
it was
Wiggy
him
has done
and
tweeting.
Not a fake. That's right. If it doesn't say wigs out, it's not Wiggy.
All right. I didn't mean to go in a different direction, but
right.
I mean, what are you doing, Wiggy? You're on the air. Stop paying attention to our show. Pay
he's
attention
on a
to
break.
Your show.
No, he's on a 15-minute break
well, that
on
was
his
funny.
Show. That... No, I'm on. I have a break from 7 to 7:15, 8 to 8:15. 15 and 9 to 9:15.
Yeah.
He's on the air for 4 hours. He works 45 minutes an hour.
I forgot to tell you, Hardy. So we were he said he demanded to come on our show the other day. And I was like, all right, man, cool. Like, I like having Wiggy on. And, I said, sure, you're on the air. I said, well, what time when you come on?
He called in at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, he goes, oh, I'm off the air between 7 and 7:15, 8 and 8:15, and 9 and 9:15. I was like, do you work? Like, ever? Like, when are you on the air?
Yeah, theoretically, 8 o'clock is prime time for a drive time program.
Very,
right?
Very, very odd.
You
very
would
odd.
Think.
Okay, very odd. All
okay.
right. So, all right, let's get back to the crazy Nick Wright, hot take Nick Wright. Now, there's a reason I did not play the hot take police there, okay? And the reason being.
No, so far, I don't disagree with what he's saying. Statistically, Jay Crowder, Jason Tatum, very similar. And
absolutely the Celtics could lose in the first round of the playoffs. This team is not a world beater. The way that, especially the way they play defensively, and it doesn't take Kyrie Irving going out. Apparently, all it takes is Marcus Smart going out to really throw a wrench into your defense.
That's,
and depending on who they draw in the first round, no, I don't think it's going to be Toronto. I don't think it's going to be Washington. But look, those are good teams, and there are good teams in the East. Any one of them over the course of seven games, I like the Celtics in the first round. I like them to get back to the finals. Could they lose in the first round? Of course they could.
You see, I don't think they could lose in the first round. But the one thing that people continue to forget when you compare this year's team and last year's team, do I think that they made all the right decisions? Do I think Danny Ainge did everything right? Absolutely. You move on from Isaiah Thomas. You knew that he had been hurt. He'd been injured. And you had a chance to get a world-class player in Kyrie Irving. You do it. Gordon Hayward got injured. It sucks. We understand that. But where they are right now is a team that, remember, last year, that Celtics team, whatever you thought about them and whatever you thought about the quality of play, they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, once they got there, they got blown out. There's no guarantee that the Celtics make it to the Eastern Conference Finals because you have at least two excellent teams. Any team with LeBron James, I think, has a to me, is almost a shoo-in. They're making it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I said it even when they were going through their painful drag where they had nobody around them. If you have LeBron James, you should almost be guaranteed that you're going to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. On top of that, Toronto is excellent. And I know a lot of people aren't paying attention to him because they don't have like the sexiest of names, but Kyle Lowry is a madman. He's playing unconscious basketball right
now. Best home team in the NBA.
They are playing some of the prettiest basketball. It's borderline flawless. They are they're a team that is going to give the Celtics fits. Now, do I believe that when this team is fully healthy and motivated, which is another thing about this slump, I don't read anything into how a team plays in February. I've been burned by reading too much into that in years past, and switches do get flipped. However, even before that, I was a little concerned, as I said yesterday, about the way they just let lesser teams beat them down for a quarter or two, and they have to fight their way back. An excellent team, a championship-caliber team, shouldn't consistently do that. So is there a chance that they might not go as far as the team last year? Absolutely. There's a high probability of that happening. So people were ripping Nick Wright yesterday, and I can rip him for 1,000 things, and usually all of his takes are just to be heard. But why are people going nuts and saying that there might be a chance that this year, remember, this year is all he's talking about, they might be a disappointment compared to last year?
I think that if you run into Cleveland or Toronto in the second round, and that's going to happen, one of those two, they're going to face one of those two teams in the second round of the playoffs. You absolutely could lose.
That's all it would take.
And
yep,
and obviously, you would not get as far as you did the previous season. They're not going to lose in the first round of the playoffs.
No.
And I think they're going to be a hell of a lot better than they've looked in the last week. Tatum's going to get healthy. Jaylen Brown will be playing better. Kyrie Irving will play better.
I still think Hayward's coming back before the end of the
whatever
season.
Whatever the case may, if they get Hayward back, that helps my point. I mean, they're going to be better than this.
Yeah, they are.
And look, I agree. I don't think they're going to lose in the first round either. But let's remember, it didn't take a whole lot for them to almost have a first-round exit last year.
It's
a
Rondo
team. It took a Rondo injury.
Do we not remember what happened in the first round with Isaiah Thomas and what he was going through? I mean, dude, you can't discount that. You can't discount your best player on the team having the most horrendous tragedy before he went into that game. And those first couple games, they looked lost. And then what happened? When they finally had time to get their head in the right place, they killed the Bulls.
They substituted Gerald Green and everything changed.
Yep. Well, I mean, it's true.
They substituted Gerald Green for game three and everything changed.
And Rondo went out. Rondo was killing them. Rajon Rondo.
Understood. I understand that.
The margin for error is thin, but this team is going to be better. I think everyone is thinking about what happened the last 2 weeks after they got 3 weeks after they got back from London. That the same team that got beaten like a dog for 3 weeks also won 16 in a row earlier this season.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, what you see now is not the finished product.
I agree with you. I just think that if this season could end with you looking at the two seasons back to back and saying this one was a disappointment,
because you could also see this team go to the Eastern Conference Finals. We'll see what happens with Cleveland. Tell me what happens when Kevin Love comes back. Because they're not going anywhere in the playoffs if Love doesn't play well. All those role players
around. I even disagree with that.
All those role players around LeBron are nice, but they didn't look good last night.
Toucher and Rich.
Wake up.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5 is Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. Got Hardy in studio for Fred. And we just played that Nick Wright clip. I heard a bunch of people crapping on it yesterday. And he's, listen, he's a guy that instantly you see his name out there. And he throws out stuff that you know he doesn't believe just to get people to hear him. But I thought, unfairly yesterday, he said something that people instantly wanted to crap all over. And that was that he didn't think this year's team was as good as last year's team. Now, the way that he justified that was saying that it was a team he believed that could potentially be knocked out in the first round. He said that Jay Crowder was excellent last year, despite what he turned into this year. He was shooting about the same clip that Jason Tatum was, and blah, 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 blah. But my whole thing was, there is a chance that you are going to compare this year's team and last year's team, and it will be a disappointment in comparison, because last year's team made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. As weak as they might have been outside of Isaiah Thomas and as many flaws as they had, they found a way to get there. Now, they got blown out and embarrassed, and I'll never forget that night I was driving home from Metallica, and I heard you, John Wallach, yes, doing the play-by-play with Cedric Maxwell of that one game where by the end of, like, what, the middle of the second,
it was game
quarter,
three or four.
They were down by, like, 35.
It was game four. They lost by 40 that
You guys
night.
Just yeah. stopped talking about the game.
Yeah.
And you guys just were just having a conversation. Yeah. And you know what? To be quite honest, I was much more interested in what you guys were talking about than what was happening on the court.
It sounded like the first hour of this show this morning.
It's true.
Right. Yeah,
Max and I cut loose on video games. It was great.
Yeah, well, I mean, but you have to understand, this is a team that in the East is going to be, it's going to be tough to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. When you have Toronto and you've got, once again, LeBron is still in the East.
Yeah.
So you're, Washington, I believe, is ready to implode.
Without John Wall.
Well,
they will continue to be without John Wall.
But he'll be back before the playoffs, it seems.
We'll see.
But that's,
they don't know that yet.
They're planning on having him back by the playoffs.
And at what level? We always like to say this about our guys, but I don't think we consider it enough with other teams. Like, okay, Marcus Smart going to be back tonight against Detroit. He's been out for a while. How long before he gets back to game speed? How long before what little kind of shot he has returns?
Sure.
So, you know, that's the worrisome aspect of being a fan of a team. But you say, oh, John Wall comes back for the Washington, they're automatically going to have John Wall. He's not automatically going to be John Wall
No.
when he comes back. But for this team and the overall picture, like you said, Rich, it's one of the rare times I can say I would not be surprised if they lose early, first round would be a surprise. Second round, not surprised. Wouldn't be surprised if they made it to the finals.
Yeah.
Because if you get past that second rounder, which is going to be most likely, as we talked about, either Toronto or Cleveland.
Yep. You're going to have to beat both teams to make it to the finals.
But if you beat one, then I think you can beat the other. LeBron is such an X factor. I mean, he's the whole reason why.
So is Kyrie, though.
Cleveland didn't, not to the extent that LeBron
is. Of course. LeBron, there's no one like LeBron. But now you have a guy who, I mean, last year, Isaiah Thomas was an excellent closer in the playoffs. We know that. But you have a guy that's at a different level. Kyrie was born
and
to play on the big stage.
And your offense this year is different.
It is.
Last year, the offense was give the ball to Isaiah Thomas, get out of the way. And if he kicks the ball out, he kicks the ball out. But let him go into the lane, get knocked down. And what did teams do? They clogged the lane because they knew that was Isaiah's game.
And it sucks.
They took Isaiah out of games, and there was nobody else around him that would be able to score.
And all you need...
Kyrie's a different point guard.
But all you need right
offense
now...
Offense is different.
It is. But you need... Here's the one thing you definitely need, and that is one more reliable shooter. Because we thought for a while we were going to have someone like that with Jason Tatum. I mean, but things have obviously gone in a different direction.
Just because they're not shooting well now doesn't mean they're not going to later.
John, I agree with you. As a matter of fact, let's take this call because he might be somewhat proving my point. All right, Mike, you're on Toucher and Rich. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Caw-caw, caw-caw.
What's up?
Just want to tell you, you've been doing Celtics for the last 11 months like they already won. But the Boston Bruins are going to have the much better spring in May and June. The Bruins have much more chemistry, and they have that underdog destiny feel to them. While they don't get the respect, and I'm telling you, you've seen the Celtics slip already. Okay, not playing, you know, they're not number one in Eastern Conference. You thought they were going to run away with the whole thing regular season through the playoffs.
I never thought that.
The Bruins are going to do it. They're going to be the better team. And Donnie Sweeney's already gearing things up. He's cleared out Frankie Vetrano. I think he might do something big on Monday. If he doesn't, I really don't care. I don't want him to give away anyone like Jake DeBrus, no way. Curcalo, no way. But the Bruins will have the better spring. Well, that's my opinion.
Well, Mike, to your point, and I was thanks for calling. To your point, you look at the Bruins. The East is a it isn't that tough. I mean, you got really one team right now you're looking at in Tampa, and they're legit. But
and Tampa badly wants McDonough, and they have more assets to go get him.
But the competition's tougher in the East and the NBA. So if he's asking me which one do I think will go further right now, I'd probably have to answer the Bruins. Although I mean, I think the Bruins have a better shot of making it to the Stanley Cup final than the Celtics do.
I don't think they're there.
And maybe I'm just it's what have you done for me lately type situation, because once again are the Bruins going through what the Celtics did at the beginning of the season where they could do no wrong and you're like they had the answers to everything. I hate that whole peaking too early argument, but it just seems to have been sustained.
I don't know if they're
ever
peaking.
Since they got healthy. They're just good.
That's
all
what I'm saying.
Long.
This is 2-3 months now. I don't know if it's peaking.
It's
I
true.
Think this is what they are.
Well, I mean,
can they maintain this level of play? And I was talking to a buddy about this the other night who had an interesting theory on how the Bruins are trending right now. And he said he doesn't necessarily want to see them getting the goal production out like they have been out of Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci. He said because those guys will either contribute or they won't based on what the matchups are like. You can shut down both of those guys. It doesn't take a massive defensive effort to stop Patrice Bergeron's goal production because he's the best two-way forward in the league again, but in terms of, you know, a legit scoring threat night in and night out, no. You can do certain things that are going to limit him offensively. He wants to see more of that, I guess, surgeons and more out of that third and fourth line.
That fourth line's been great, man.
Heinen, DeBrusque, and Riley Nash, even Krug scoring goals. You want the secondary scorers to prove that they can do it
and
in
you
the playoffs.
Don't, and you right. You don't need them for a ton of minutes every night, but if you can roll a fourth line, which is, you know, not to sound all Claude Julien-esque, but if you can roll a fourth line that can do more than just give a breather to your top line guys, can actually go out there and give fits to the other team and give you a goal every once in a while, that changes things.
Well, who are you more comfortable with? If you're going to compare the two teams, like the Bruins fourth line or the Celtics bench? You know, it's like if you want to figure out like which one you believe is going to go further, that fourth line's been consistent. That bench at times has been abysmal.
I know, but it's tough for me to like, you know, really put a whole lot of playoff.
I know what you're saying.
Playoff predictions on fourth lines or NBA benches.
But that's all we have to go by right now with a lot of these guys.
Yeah, it comes down to your, you know, top two pairings defensively. I think your top two lines in terms of forwards and your starting five and a sixth man in basketball. You don't have to look that deep.
Yeah.
It might win you a game here or there, but throughout the course of a seven-game series in both leagues, it's going to be about the top guys on both.
All right, quickly, Jack, you're on Toucher and Rich.
Hi, so you just said that they only have one team in the East to go through in Tampa, but have you seen them beat the Capitals in a long time?
That's been my point all along.
I know that they
do not
want
to play Washington.
Oh, come
they
on.
Can't play Washington.
It's different. You know, but
for whatever reason, they can't beat Washington.
They can't beat the Capitals.
I understand their snake bit by
you
them.
You have to hope Washington gets knocked out in their own division because I don't want to play that team in the East.
Not that they can't beat them. It's just that they never have.
They never do.
But Washington always finds a way to F up in the playoffs.
Maybe so. Yeah,
but not against the Bruins.
I know. Well, that's the thing. Can Washington, if Washington gets out of their own division and the Bruins have to play them, that's a problem.
I like what
on top of playing the best team in the league, the Tampa Bay Lightning.
I like what that guy said, and I know it's very fairy tale-ish or whatever, but this team does have that feel, doesn't it? It's like when you watch them play, they've got that feel, and maybe it was about a month ago that I started saying, there is something,
my point
something
has
real here with this team,
along,
the chemistry.
Everything is great with the Bruins, but the problem is the best team in the NHL, actually Vegas, I technically is that, but the best team in the East happens to reside in their division.
Sure. Yeah.
And they have a goaltender that's a threat to win the Vezina Trophy this year.
Absolutely. All right. 617-779-0985. Some interesting news coming out with the Patriots. We want to talk to Burt Breer quickly about that. Also, the Jets might end up doing the most Jets thing ever, and that is give Kirk Cousins a fully guaranteed contract. Let's hope that they do so. A, it will make the division a hell of a lot more fun, and B, it would be the amount of money they're going to have locked up if they make a decision that stupid. Fully guaranteed for a guy that's going to set the bar on QB contracts. We will talk to Burt Breer right after John Walk's headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
You know, you need sometimes a guy with a little bit of attitude.
Toucher and Rich.
Embarrassing to America.
One radio station. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Pump up the volume, pump up the volume. Pump
that bass. Do you know how pissed I am whenever this comes on and it's not Set Adrift on Memory Bliss of You by PM Dawn?
Like, I hear Pump Up the Volume, yeah. I think Mars. I don't know about you guys.
Is this the most overused drum beat in 90s hip-hop? Even Duran Duran used this with Come Undone. And this is Baby Don't Forget My Number by Millie Vanilli. Like, that's the most overused drum loop of all time. But the ones who mastered it was PM Dawn. I think we can all agree. Who is this anyway? I don't even know. Eric B. and Rakim. Okay. Well, then that's why Wallach's all excited over there. All right. It's Toucher and Rich. We got Hardy filling in for Fred this morning, and Burt Breer, our good friend. He wrote a really good article yesterday. It's very long and expansive, so make sure that you... It's very Bill Simmons-esque, but this one was for a good reason. He wrote a very cool article this morning that you can find at the MMQB about how when free agency starts, it's all a sham. All of this like tampering period and negotiating period. By that point, there have been months in advance of talking behind the scenes of every kind of rule being violated between agent, team, and negotiator. And by the time that this legal tampering opens, everyone already knows where everyone's going to go, or at least one of two teams, or it's been narrowed down at that point, and you know exactly how much money it's all worth. It's very long, it's very expansive, but he got an agent to talk off the record, you know, under with anonymity, and it's a fascinating read. But we bring Burt on this morning. Burt, what's up? Good morning, man.
What's up, guys? How you doing? That Who Do You Need cut, too. I think I heard that in the 90s back in back on Cinemax. You know?
Right. It does sound like the beginning of the Enigma Deep Forest
Undercover Spies.
Boxing Helena type thing like that comes
right,
out at midnight.
Right.
Yeah.
The opening credit. The opening credits is playing over the opening credits. Right,
right. It's Emmanuel in Space.
Midnight meetings.
Right. So there is listen, all it took was a penny to get your cable box to work, and we all enjoyed a little free Cinemax. So, okay, I want to quickly ask you, because I heard you talking about this the other day on NBCSN, but the Rob Gronkowski stuff, obviously there's still rumors being floated out there. I guess the WWE is aggressively going after him. They want to give him the contract that apparently Ronda Rousey had, which is just a little bit less than he'd be making next year. Anyway, chances you believe he will be back with the Patriots next year?
You know, I think it's up in the air. Honestly, Rich, I think we have to take every player who thinks about this sort of thing earlier than we expect them to seriously. And I think it's a great development for professional football players. Look, I think it means three things. One, they found financial security at an earlier point. They're taking care of their money, and they're getting paid more. So, you know, they're in a position where they can say, I'm set for life earlier in their careers. Number two, a lot of these guys are thinking earlier and earlier about what they want to do after football. And then number three, they have more information on the damage that playing into their 30s can do to them. And, you know, we've seen it with Patrick Willis. We saw it with Calvin Johnson, where a lot of these guys just kind of get to a point where they've made a lot of money. They know what they want to do after football. And they say to themselves, you know what? This really isn't worth risking my quality of life when I'm in my 50s and 60s. I don't really need to play two or three more years. And so, you know, I think every time one of these comes up, we have to take it very, very seriously. And I don't think... For Rob, this is so much a decision of football versus WWE or football versus giving it a career in the movies a shot. I think this is more just making a decision based on his health and making a decision, saying to himself, you know, is it really worth it for me to play another year or two when I feel the way that I feel, when I've got to do everything that I've got to do to get myself ready to play every Sunday. Every football player comes to a point where it's not worth it anymore. We'll see whether or not Rob's at that point yet.
All right, well, if this is indeed being used for leverage, because in my opinion, I think Rob Gronkowski's of the mindset of, you know what, I want to get paid a lot more, and if I don't, I'm still happy going to the WWE, so I don't lose either way. But if this is leveraging and he wants more from the Patriots, A, how much do you think he'll be happy with to stick around? And B, do you believe that the Patriots would indeed offer him that amount?
All right, well, let me flip this on you, Rich. Is he as valuable to the Patriots as Antonio Brown is to the Steelers?
I would say yes.
Is he as valuable to the Patriots as DeAndre Hopkins is to the Texans?
Absolutely.
Okay, so here's the thing. In a way, Rob is Gronk's a prisoner of his position, right?
Yeah.
Like that. Just the fact that the franchise tag number is where it is, and that's relevant for all players, where the franchise tag number is for your position, he can't make as much as those guys. It's the way it works. It's not necessarily fair. It doesn't mean that he's not as good a player as those receivers are. It's just tight ends don't get paid the same way. And so in that way, he's a prisoner of his position. Now, if you're him and you want to get creative and you want to say to yourself, okay, well, I am worth $16 or $17 million a year on the field. If you want to ask how good I am and what kind of impact I have on the game, yes, I have the same sort of impact that a Brown or a Hopkins has. Well, then how do you get there? You know, the only way you can really get there is you have to be willing to withhold services, and you have to be willing to hold out, and you have to be willing to say, I don't need football anymore. And so, you know, this would be the most effective way to really get a huge pay bump and really get into the neighborhood, you know, where it's really get to the point where he's getting paid what he's actually worth rather than what the top guys in his position are getting paid, is just go to the team and be able to say to the team, you know, I should be getting paid like an Antonio Brown or a DeAndre Hopkins. And if you're not willing to pay me like that, well, you know, then I'm sorry. I've got two rings. I've got a ton of money in the bank. I've got other interests. I don't really need football that much.
So, honestly, Rich,
that's the only way you're going to be able to get paid that way. Like, it's the only way it works, because the way the leverage points, you know, the way the leverage points set up in the NFL, everything's based on the position that you pay, that you play. And unfortunately for Gronk, tight ends are closer to the bottom of the totem pole when it comes to that than the top.
So, Bert, if he did decide to leave the game, is there anything that's happened in the game up until this point, a player of his caliber, his age, and you factor in everything, somebody as good as he is at the age of 28, not the same injury recurring. I mean, he's had a bunch between the arm and the back and the concussion, but a seemingly, you know, quote-unquote healthy guy, young age, absolute, you know, best or one of the best players at his position walking away from the game. Is there anything that has happened before that would compare to this?
Patrick Willis?
It's still not Gronk.
It's not Gronkowski, but that's his closest thing.
Patrick Willis was the best player on a really great, on a Super Bowl defense, you know? I mean, Patrick Willis, like, it's easy to forget that because he didn't play 16 years like Ray Lewis, but he was really seen as sort of the successor to Ray Lewis. And he pulled the plug, what was it, right around 30 years old? Mm-hmm. Now, he had some foot issues, but I don't think the foot issues that he had were that different than Gronk's back issues.
But, you know, it's funny, though. You say it's like right around 30. That's what we're talking about. It's like, I think it's too early for Gronkowski to pull the plug on it. How many more years do you want him to play? 10? 5? No, a couple.
Yeah.
One or two more years to really,
okay,
to really know.
But Hardy, he also entered the NFL at a younger age. He's played 8 years. I believe, and you can look this up, but I believe Willis played 8 years in the NFL. I think Willis. Now, Calvin, I think Calvin Johnson's a little different because Calvin Johnson was dealing with a lot of pain at the end, and that was a big part of why he walked away. But Calvin played 8 years.
Yep,
also,
you're
right.
Yes, he did.
So he's right at the point that Calvin Johnson, Patrick Willis were. He's a little younger because he was 20 when he was drafted. And so by age, he's a little younger, but.
Yep.
As far as
it's more about the years of service than it is the age. Yeah, I get you.
Right. I think he's right at the same point that Calvin Johnson and Patrick Willis were, which I think that's why those two are the most applicable comparison.
Okay, finally, Bert, a report came out the other day that made me laugh out loud because it would be the most Jets move ever. Apparently, according to this report, they're willing to go all in
on Kirk Cousins. And by all in, it was floated out there that they would fully guarantee his contract, which we know the kind of money that that guy can demand right now. There are teams, six teams that could potentially be fighting over this guy's services? Yeah. At least six. So what are you hearing, and how realistic is it that someone, maybe even the Jets, would fully guarantee a massive contract like that?
Okay, let me start here. I think Kirk Cousins is going to be a Jet. Like, that'd be my guess right now.
Okay.
I don't think that he's going to fully guarantee. I don't think they're going to fully guarantee his contract. I do think they're willing to make him the highest paid player in football history. Here's the thing about fully guaranteeing contracts. You have to be willing to write a check for the full amount of the deal if you do that. The NFL's got a quirky rule about that where every fully guaranteed dollar has to be funded. And so if the Jets say they sign him to a five-year, $150 million deal, fully guaranteed, right?
Right.
So then he gets whatever he gets up front, and then the rest of the amount that's fully guaranteed, the Jets would then have to turn around and write a check to the league, and that check would go into escrow. And so this is more, fully guaranteeing an entire contract, it sounds nice on paper. It sounds like an interesting solution where maybe you get a discount. But it's not a cap thing so much as it is a cash thing where these teams would have to write checks for the full amount of the entire contract all at once.
Real quick.
As much money as all these teams have, almost none of them are willing to do that.
Now, why would he pick the Jets? If it's something other than money, because there seems to be other teams like Denver who are in a better position to win if he chose them.
Denver's window's closing, though. I mean, Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, Aqib Talib, they're all in their 30s.
Jacksonville, the Vikings. I mean, there's two other teams.
The Vikings make some sense. Now, here's why I think the Jets will appeal to him. Kirk wants a team to make him feel like he's the franchise. Like, he saw the way that the Redskins treated Robert Griffin III for those 3 years. He never got that feeling in Washington that he was that guy, and that the team was actually building around him. And so he wants to win. There's no question about that. But I think going into a place where there's a fit and where people really believe in him and where he feels like they're going to build around him for the next 5 years and he won't get the rug pulled from underneath him after a year or two, that's really important. And to that end, the offensive coordinator in New York is really important. His name's Jeremy Bates. He's from the same coaching family as Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay. And Kyle and Sean think very, very highly of Kirk Cousins. They believe he can be a Drew Brees type of quarterback. Jeremy, by extension, feels the same sort of way. And Kirk knows exactly how he fits into that offense. And so for those reasons, I think the fit is there. Now, they've got a lot of money to spend, and I think part of this is going to be convincing him, we're going to put a really good team around you, and once our window opens, it's going to stay open for a while because we're building around guys like Leonard Williams and Jamal Adams and Marcus May. But I think they're going to be able to put something in front of Kirk that's going to make him believe that they're going to be able to win pretty quickly, like in the next year or two. When they start winning, they're going to be able to keep winning, and they're going to be building around him as a franchise quarterback. This isn't going to be one of those deals where in a year or two they might change their mind on him.
All right, Bert, good stuff. We'll continue to play Cinemax's greatest hits for you coming in out of commercial.
Keep it coming all morning, all morning, right till 10 a.m., all right, guys?
That's right. We'll keep it going. All right. Appreciate it, Bert. Thanks for calling. 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And go, maybe I spent a little too much. Or are you looking for a way to maybe make a little bit extra cash to do your weekends the way that you want to do them? Well,